Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with our first exit interview of Big Brother Canada. And today I'm going to be speaking with the first house guest voted out of Big Brother Canada. If you don't want to be spoiled, then you have 3 seconds to turn off the podcast. 3, 2, 1. Mark Chrysler will be my guest, and I will talk to him. And it's interesting because it was only about 10 days ago that I talked to him going into the house. And I'm pretty sure he was the first of the newbies that I spoke to when I did my initial interviews with the cast. And he will also be the first of the newbies that I'm talking to coming out of the Big Brother house. So I've got my exit interview with Mark. And then after we wrap up with that, I'll talk with Alex Kidwell a little bit here about what I thought about the first 2 nights. And he can give us a little bit of an update on anything breaking that's going on since the podcast that the guys did last night with Mitch. If you missed that, of course, you can subscribe to all of our Big Brother Canada coverage by either subscribing to our Big Brother podcast feed at robisawebsite.com/BB podcast or by subscribing to the Rehap Ups, which also includes the Rehappy Hour at robisawebsite.com/Rehap Ups. All right, I see that we have Mark on the line. Let's patch him in. Hey, Mark, good morning. Sorry to see you out of the Big Brother Canada house so early, but really, we are dying to get caught up on everything that happened in your week in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit me.
Okay. Well, it looked like it was a very tight vote. And as viewers, you know, we only see a little bit of what went on in that first week. So could you just take us through the events as you had them happening to you, starting with finding out that you were going to be nominated?
Yeah. So finding out that I was going to be nominated definitely sucked. We all kind of knew that Karen was going to be after some strong physical players. She really wanted to make her mark, and I kind of figured that she'd go more towards the veterans, but I guess she didn't want to go too strong. So Greek and I ended up going on the block, which sucked. Power veto comes. Do you know what? I really thought I had it in the bag, but do you know what? It just didn't work out. So gave him my all, but. It just wasn't it. And coming into it, you know, I really wanted to play a very strong social game. I didn't really want to talk strategy in the first week, but being up on the block, it really kind of forced my hand. Fighting for votes, it didn't, going up to the last day, it didn't really seem like I had the votes in my favor. Everyone was kind of coming up to me and being like, look, man, like, we love you, but this, like, it just isn't really, it, like, everyone's going with the house, but we wish you could stay. So everyone was getting very emotional. It was a really hard day because I was fighting to get these votes, but I was feeling very defeated. It wasn't until really the last half hour before the eviction when I was talking to Gary and Ika and Cass, you know what, they've been butting heads like this entire week, and I kind of, there was a bit of a crack in there, and I kind of accidentally just put a spike right through it, and that stirred up the entire house. I knew that Karen was gunning for me the entire time, and I was going for her, but with Cass and Ika absolutely against each other, it changed the entire house. It went from everybody going to be voting me out, just following the house, to no one really knowing like where their alliances are at and who they wanted to get out. So it wasn't until that last 30 minutes that no one knew who to vote for, and it was absolutely crazy. So by the end of it, I almost thought I had the votes. I knew the boys were on my side, and I thought I could get one or two extra, but it just didn't happen. I was so close, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it seems like it's a really interesting split in the house. From your perspective, could you just give us the names of who is on what side at the time that you left as you saw it?
Man, like, that's the thing. After all that happened, especially between, like, the huge fight with Ike and Gary versus Cass, it really split up the house and really made people have to pick a side. And still to this day, I really don't know, like, who voted me out or who kept me. Like, I have some hunches, but I really wasn't clear. Some people that I know that are really close together. There's like the French connection of Dre and Will. They're very strong. I feel like Dre and Gary have been working really well together as well.
And you feel like all those people, they were people in your corner, or they were people who wanted to keep Dimitri?
Well, see, that was the thing. I had so many people say that they wanted to keep me, but the house was voting against me. And it just made no sense. So when it finally came down to that, the last half hour, I was trying to figure out who was the mastermind, who was the house that really wanted me out. I knew Karen, but I knew it had to have been someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's when everything kind of shook. And like I said, Gary and Ika, they were very frustrated because around the house, there was talk saying that they were the ones going after me. And they were saying that it was Cass that was going after me. So everyone was flip-flopping everywhere, and it goes to show, like, no one really knew who they really wanted to vote for because it was that 7-6 split. So to this day, I need to go and watch and see who really was on my side. I know I had a really strong connection with a lot of the guys. We were starting to form a really strong relationship just because we noticed that the girls were really banding together. And do you want they really have a strong position in this house right now.
Yeah, we saw you when Bruno and Kevin were in the hot tub, and then Bruno started talking to you about hockey. So did Bruno give you any assurances that he was going to be able to keep you safe?
Do you want Bruno? I shout out to him for doing a really great job on that veto. He absolutely destroyed it. Him and I had a really good talk. He really wanted to keep me. We really had a really good trust. We had a great trust forming. He was one of the guys that we kind of had this alliance building up. He was the only one that I wasn't too sure of, though. I didn't have a lot of trust in him because he was playing a very smart game in the first week. He wanted to align himself with the guys, but yet he was talking to all the girls. So I felt like he had my back only if the entire house had my back, but I felt like he was ready to flip on me. And to this day, I question if he voted with me or against me.
So going back to Karen and her HOH reign, now here you are as a newbie, you know, it's a split 8-8 and a newbie wins HOH. Did you feel confident that the newbie HOH was going to go after the vets?
You know what? It's tough because, like I said, everyone knew that she wanted to make her mark in this house, being the oldest person there, and she wanted to get out strong physical players. With that being said, I figured she would have wanted, if she really wants to make her mark, that she would go after the veterans and more specifically, say, two veteran males. But do you know what? Being a super fan as she is and seeing all those people on all those house guests on TV before, I feel like she was a little starstruck and even a little bit intimidated to put up two veterans like down the block. But still putting two guys up there, I know she put a huge target on her back. There's a lot of the guys that wanted to keep me safe that are really gunning for her now. She definitely made her mark, and she made it known that she was coming after me, and she succeeded because I'm out of the house.
Okay, so from the perspective of all of the newbies together, was there a lot of talk about how, hey, we need to stick together or these vets are just going to run us over?
Do you want? Not really. It was more so just who the newbies kind of, the entire house in general, who they kind of connected with. Like I said, there was a lot of Dre and Gary, and I was and Dylan and I were getting very comfortable with the other Dallas and Kev. So there was a lot of mix, but at the same time, I feel like a lot of the newer house guests were very intimidated by the veterans, and I feel like a few of them were almost going to base their vote on just what the veterans have. So I really feel like they had a slight advantage, but at the same time, you know, it was day one for all of us. But I really wouldn't be surprised if I saw a veteran or even two in the finals.
So when you go back and do the mental reassessment of what went wrong, do you have any regret about how you handled this game?
Do you know what? My only real regret would have been maybe not talking to Karen as much. We really didn't have any communication with each other. We both made it very well known that we were going after each other. I feel like she was kind of the house. She said that she wanted me, and then precinct two people believed it, and then the entire house believed it. So really looking back, competition wise, you know, I gave it my all. I wasn't gonna give up on any of those. That was really my mainly only regret, was I should have really talked to Karen a little bit more and had her on my side instead of Greeks.
Yeah, and Mark, just between us, that I don't think that there was anything that you did that jumped out to me as being going the wrong way on this. I think this was just circumstances, and you just happened to be a strong guy who had a good chance to go pretty far in the game, as long as you didn't screw anything up. And I think that a lot of these savvy vets might have identified that.
Yeah, absolutely. Originally, once Karen was nominated, she was really she really wanted to get Greek out. But after seeing after them communicating, and I feel like they kind of built a really good friendship. She felt, and it was kind of going around the house, that Greek was a lot easier to control and kind of sway him to vote their way. Whereas a lot of people came up to me and straight up told me, they were like, look, like, we like you, but this is kind of like the only chance to get you out, because like, we can see you winning this game, and like, that's just your personality. So I'm not sure if I should have like dialed back on the social game or something like that, but I really feel like since it was two physical guys, they wanted to take out the most threatening, and it just happened to be me.
All right, can you talk to me about some of these fights? You say that it was Gary and Ika versus Cass in one of the fights that you saw in the house. Could you give us some more details about that?
Yeah, so Ika and Cass, you know what, very big personalities. I really feel like Ika or Cass were really controlling the house. They were just really button heads, and it wasn't up until the last 30 minutes before the eviction where Ika came up to me and Gary and was just like, was Cass the one that was saying that Ika and Gary wanted Mark out of the house? And I said, yes, making that a total lie. And that's where Gary just absolutely flipped out, and that's where everything, Gary being very over the top, the entire house just flipped. And that's where I almost had that chance of being safe. It went from like almost a 13-0 to that 7-6. So like I said, it really brought out everyone's true colors to where they wanted to vote. As for any other major conflicts, everyone was really tame. I guess the second biggest one was really just Karen and I. Like, we kept it quiet, but like I said, we both knew that we were really gunning for each other. So I kind of left the house, like I said, threw that grenade out there and then ran. So I'm really interested in seeing what's going to develop, whether Cass and Ike are going to make up, or if that's just going to divide the house. It's really going to be interesting these next couple of weeks.
Okay, and then Mark, last thing. A lot of people are playing the game really hard right now. Who are the next couple of people you think that are going to follow you out the door?
Do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised after all that's happened. Maybe pawns will go up. I wouldn't be surprised if Will went on the block and was gone, just because he's had a really tough time in the house so far, adapting and whatnot. But also, someone might want to try.
Just getting along with everybody?
He's definitely getting along with everyone, but at the same time, after all the emotions that have happened and being such a big week, they might try to calm it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it might go the opposite way. And do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Ika went out of the house. Everyone kind of knows that Ika and Gary are kind of working together, and it kind of looks like they're kind of running the house right now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Okay, well, we're loving all the fireworks so far. Again, Mark, sorry to see you go, but, you know, hold your head up high that you were just collateral damage, I think, this week.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal, but you know what? I guess it is what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, great getting to chat with you again. Again, wasn't expecting to do it again so soon, but all the best to you and everything post-Big Brother.
Perfect. Hey, thanks, man.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Mark Chrysler out of the Big Brother house after but two nights on Global, but here with us after many, many nights of recapping the Big Brother live feeds. Let me bring in Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing good, Rob. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, very excited. You have been podcasting two nights of Big Brother, Wednesday and Thursday. How are you holding up getting back to the live feeds?
This is what? Big Brother Canada 3, Big Brother 17, Big Brother Canada 4, Big Brother 18.
Not your first rodeo.
Big Brother Over the Top. This is my sixth season. It's going to take a lot to drive me insane at this point. I think I'm pretty grounded in reality to still have my brain at this point.
All right, so a lot going on. Let me just set the stage a little bit here of what's coming up, because a lot of people have been asking me on Twitter, wait, hold on, you're not going to cover Big Brother Canada? No, that's not the case. So what we're planning on this season is, and if you listen to the Happy Hour, maybe Jordan has talked through this a little bit, is that Jordan and members of the LFC are going to be with you guys on Wednesday night after the episodes. I am committed with Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday nights. Thursday night is eviction night, and again, that's my busy podcast day with Survivor. I'm recording the Survivor recap into the evening. Also, The Amazing Race is coming back 2 weeks from yesterday, the 30th. That's when Amazing Race is going to be back on Thursday nights as well. So I am going to be tackling Amazing Race recaps once again with Jessica Leese. So I've got that on my plate, plus all of the Survivor and the voicemail podcast as well. So my Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is a little crazy. So I will be getting back into Big Brother Canada for the Monday night episodes. I'll be live after the East Coast edition of Big Brother Canada, which I believe airs at 9 p.m. Eastern. So I will have a podcast at around 7:15 Eastern time, talking about Big Brother Canada every week with some combo of the live feed correspondents and guests and stuff like that. So that's going to be on Mondays. Now, this Monday coming up is going to be a little tricky because I'm going to be in New York for the live Know-It-Alls. We are going to have a podcast. We're all going to get together, those of us that are going to be there, me, Alex, Taryn, Jordan, and whoever else that we can round up in New York. We're going to get together and do a podcast, but we're going to do it on Tuesday. So there's not going to be a live show on Monday, pending if Alex tells me that we have enough breaking news that there should be something going on Monday after the episode.
Yeah, but, you know, it'd be tough to arrange. I know there's varying flight schedules to try to navigate around there.
Okay, well, we can talk about that off air. And if anything is, if things get hot enough, you know, we'll figure out a way to get something on the air on Monday night with some combination of people that aren't going to be in New York. So anyway, Alex, I just wanted to get on here, talk a little bit about my thoughts, do like the real, real quick version, because I'm not going to be able to talk about Big Brother Canada until we do that podcast on Tuesday. So I just wanted to get my thoughts on the record here. Really liking the new season so far. I really was afraid of one of the two things were going to happen, where I thought that it was just going to be the vets all sticking together and just wiping out the newbies, and that does not seem to be the case. Or I was also concerned where, like, the scenario that we talked about a lot of, like, Bruno just is, like, picking up the newbies, and we're just seeing all of the, you know, the vets, and especially, like, Netta and Cass being targeted and sort of, like, on a highway to Bruno Dallas and, like, the beefiest newbies going to the end in Chop Shop 2.0. That doesn't seem to be the case. So my two worst-case scenarios do not seem to be going on, and it was a crazy episode. Like, Wednesday was pretty ho-hum, but the Thursday night episode was rather crazy.
Yeah, I think that echoes the sentiment that a lot of people are feeling right now. A lot of people are enjoying it, and I think a lot of people are big fans of Karen right now, because Karen...
I love Karen. I'm telling you, I talked to Karen...
Saved your faves, Karen did.
Going into the house, I talked to Karen, and I thought my interview with her was very funny, but I thought she was going to be sort of like a wacky character. Then she won the first HOH, and I was saying to myself, sort of echoing a lot of what you guys have been saying on the podcast, like, boy, this is like the worst possible move for Karen to go in there. And she had a whole lot of on Wednesday night when she won the HOH that she was like, this is for all the old people. You can still do it. Like, I think that is a thing when people come into, especially Big Brother Canada, where it's like, hey, life isn't over at 40. Like, you really, like, you're like really, like, you're not playing the game at that point. You're just like proving, like, I can do it.
She does have 20 years on the field,
right? But just win the game. Like, you don't have to, like, like, make a point. Like, okay, got it. Well, you know, this is we could put you on the cover of AARP magazine one day, but this is not the accomplishment. Is winning the game. Like yeah, you beat a bunch of young people in a challenge. Look, and I'd be pounding my chest if I beat a bunch of young people in a challenge.
Yeah, but, or dog demand. Out on national television.
But I'm like, Karen is not long for this world. I wrote in the Big Brother Facebook group, but like 20 minutes into the episode Thursday night, I'm like, okay, Karen, no chance she's in the house by April 1st when she's talking about big game hunting. But then it all changed for me. And then I fell in love with Karen during this moment.
This is too many cooks in the kitchen, and Cindy's running around with her chicken with her head cut off.
This is why none of you f***ing won. Except you should have won.
What about me? I was pretty close.
I don't give a f-
What about me? I
can't. That's
close.
My favorite part. That's my favorite part about that. I want to come back to that when we talk about the spoilers a little bit with Alex towards the end. So I love Karen. That was my favorite moment. I have never like burst out laughing. I can't remember the last time watching one of these shows where I was just doubled over. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. Netta gets this big twist. Good for Netta. This is very exciting. I know you guys. And, you know, talked a lot about like, oh, but we don't get to watch Netta play. But, you know, like, what are you going to do? Like, yeah. you got Netta guaranteed for 6 weeks. You know, she'll figure it out. Is there a good chance that she then becomes somebody who goes up on the block and gets voted out the week after this is over? I think that there is probably a 30-40% chance, like at a minimum, that that's what happens. But at least you have her. You have a sure thing. You have some money in the bank there. So no harm complaining about that. I had been impressed with Cindy with an S coming into this thing. I thought that she was in an interesting role, sort of like being the connective tissue to the newbies. I thought she, in some ways, that she was a little like how they used to say Tyson was during Survivor Heroes versus Villains, where it's like Rob and Sandra and Courtney are over here and Coach and Jerry are over here. And she's sort of like the go-between between the groups. And then when Tyson got knocked out, that's like when the Villains tribe fell apart. I feel like that Cindy's in a similar sort of spot there.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting observation. Certainly, she does seem to be a bit of a linchpin between her fellow season 3 house guests in Bruno and Kevin and the Ike and Netta season 2 combination.
Yeah, so that's interesting that she's sort of like the go-between there. So we'll see if she controls the flow of information between those groups. But overall, I'm very excited, and I thought you guys had a fun podcast with Mitch on Thursday night. So I'm pretty pumped up on Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, surprisingly good so far. I think everyone's happy that it's not so clearly steamroll on one side, but I think Cass says it in that clip, too many cooks in the kitchen. I think that's an
too
element
many
here.
Cooks.
Yeah, I mean, all these people have an idea about how this should go, and they couldn't even survive one
too
vote.
Too many pizza cooks.
They couldn't agree on the first pawn that they wanted
right.
to use.
It was so great that to see all of the veterans this divided, because you had the Big Brother 13 scenario where it was just like, Dick had everybody in the room like, okay, this is what we're doing. Like, and then just like running over the regulators, and it was like Keystone Cops. And even this past season on Big Brother 18, where we saw like, the newbies didn't have a chance going up against these returning vets. But I like it how these vets are really split on what they want to do. So I think that that's been pretty fun. And I don't think we've ever had that scenario in one of these fans versus favorite season yet, where we have a dysfunctional group of vets coming in.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think in a lot of fans versus favorite scenarios and seasons, we've had someone who was willing to kind of put themselves on the line. They saw that they were in a dominant position with the favorites, and they were willing to put their neck out and say, like, all right, favorites, come here. Like, no, you don't get to come over here. We're going to have a group discussion, like a Philip or somebody like this, mm-hmm. who was willing to be the bad guy that, like, was the face of, like, the evil entity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the interesting thing this season is that none of these veterans are willing to like potentially waste their second chance by being seen as the person who like, all right, veterans huddle up in the HOH room. We're going to discuss like,
meeting.
Yeah, right. So nobody's sure. really calling that. So we
like,
haven't seen
Mike Boogie.
Right. Like all 8 of us are going to get together. You guys are excluded. Nobody wants to be seen. Nobody wants to waste their chance because they were seen as the person who organized that. So I think unless you see that, and that's kind of what Dick was willing to do in Big Brother 13 as well. But without that, people are going to only have conversations.
And Frank, I think, in Big Brother 18.
Right, yeah. But unless you have that, people only talk in groups of 3, groups of 4, groups of 5. And yeah. So you never get everyone all on the same page at the same time.
Okay, so I want to just touch on a little bit of what has happened since the end of the episode. So let's technically call this the spoiler portion of the podcast. We're only going to do maybe like 5 more minutes talking about this stuff. Alex, do you need a spoiler jingle?
I think the patrons need a spoiler jingle.
Okay, I think everybody might need it. Here is the return of your Big Brother spoiler jingle.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning. Protective action should be taken.
Short version. That's the short version.
Still good.
Okay. All right. So I did catch up on the podcast you guys did with Mitch from last night, but just bring us up to date currently. We're recording this podcast worked was I talked to Mark on Friday morning. I'll have the exit interviews on Friday mornings, and then Alex and I are recording this Friday afternoon, early evening East Coast time. So give us the latest in terms of Dimitri's your HOH.
Dimitri is the HOH. Yeah, still no nominations yet, but they did have a have-not ceremony this morning based on a competition that we didn't see. The have-nots are Cindy, Ica, Cass, Emily, and Jackie.
Yeah, talk to me about Cass. What is she doing here?
She's in trouble. Cass is in real trouble. I think the only thing that saves her this week, like we were talking about last night, is that I don't know that Dimitri really is incentivized to target her because she seems loyal to him. But I also don't think that Dimitri feels indebted to her the way she thinks he does. Mm-hmm.
The move with Dimitri and Cass was great television, great theater. I loved it as a viewer, but I've been very concerned about Cass this whole way through, where I just think, and I've compared her to Ciara Easton, where I just get the feeling from Cass, she's so high on herself that she thinks she's smarter than everybody. She thinks that Big Brother Canada is all about her. She is the ultimate face of the franchise. This is all about her, and she can do no wrong. And I think that she is really in a lot of trouble. I think she's too self-absorbed going into this game. And I'm rooting for her, and I want her to do well, but I'm very concerned. And I want to go back to this Karen clip, because that for Cass, that all she to me, I don't think that she has her head on straight in terms of what she should be doing to win this game. Go, let's listen to this exchange again with Karen.
This is why none of you won, except you should have won.
So Karen says to Gary, except you should have won.
What about me? I'm pretty close.
I don't give a
Yeah, what about me? What about me? Shouldn't I have won too? Like, what the F does she care what Karen thinks about who should have won Big Brother Canada 4? I mean, why is she even thinking about this stuff? So I just think she's come in way too hot. She wants to make big moves, as we saw in the episode, which were very fun to watch.
I'm shot out of a cannon.
But slow your roll, Cass. I mean, I'm very concerned about her. And from what I understand with you guys, she was pissed that she didn't get the pass from Canada.
Yeah, she certainly vocalized a little bit that she thought maybe she was more popular than Netta, but she vocalized it to Ica. And that's, again, you talk about awareness and of your perception and how people see you.
She can't have an ego in this game. It's such a marathon. And if she's going to be this sloppy early on, then she doesn't have a chance.
Yeah. And again, right, I mean, and confiding in the wrong people, she's confiding a lot in Ica right now, and Ica's just turning it right around and, like, putting even, like, a nastier spin on it than selling it right to Netta. So, I mean, Ica isn't doing her any favors. And, yeah, Cass, I mean, even if Dimitri doesn't target her right now, she's certainly in a much worse position with all the vets, really, except for Gary, than she realizes.
Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if Big Brother Canada 4, if there was just so many crazy things going on in that season, that if Cass might end up getting more exposed this season with more of a spotlight on her. So we will ultimately see how that plays out. I hope she gets her head on straight. And I think that what she might need to go up on the block and survive it. And then say, oh my God, like I saw my life flash before my eyes. I'm playing way too hard. But I kind of feel like if she's up on the block, I feel like people are going to take the shot.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think, really right now, if the vets are fracturing, it's in a way that kind of looks like her, Gary, and Dallas and the rest of the group on the other side, I would say.
So funny, too, that Dimitri is the HOH. It just seems like, we've seen, 18 Big Brother seasons, a Big Brother OTT season, 5 Big Brother Canada seasons. I feel like that, and I'm just like spitballing, I feel like at least 10 times the person that survives the week one nomination ends up being the week two HOH.
Yeah, well, I'd imagine it puts the fear of God in you a little bit, where you're like, I need this now. Okay.
It's definitely happened an abnormal number of times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I imagine, that desire to, at that point, is a big piece of it, where other people haven't felt pressure.
Is that
pressure.
Just so many people are throwing it, and the person who was on the block in week one is just in FU mode, and it's like, they're the only person that's really trying?
I imagine that's a factor. I imagine other people, they're trying, but they're probably at like 70%. They're like, I'm not going to like throw my back out for this, whereas that person's right. going like 150%.
And you figure probably half the people in any given week to HOH are throwing the competition.
If they know what they're doing, and they're positioned well socially, sure.
Yeah. Okay, so interested to get all the way back into everything else. Anything else you want to touch on or throw out there before we log off?
Yeah, so just, you know, we talked about it a little last night, but obviously Dimitri having started that fight with Dylan now kind of almost pigeonholes him, because if you start a public confrontation with someone and then win power, now, like, well, you got to nominate that guy. So I'd almost guarantee Dylan's going up. But then I think, you know, Dallas potentially in trouble. Dallas is close with Dylan. And, you know, I think he's trying to, you know, be everybody's buddy. And it's really obvious, which was kind of Dallas's problem the last time. Mm-hmm. And then I think Emily and Jackie are both kind of associated with that group as well. So those are the people who I think are in real trouble this week, depending on what kind of variation of veto winner we get.
Okay, so I'm very excited to check out everything going on Big Brother over the weekend, and certainly hear what's coming up on the feeds from you guys on Twitter. I'm going to be headed into New York Sunday night, so I will be unable to podcast Monday night like I will the rest of the season, but then we will have a show. It won't be live, but maybe we'll be able to Periscope it, but we will not have like any sort of live hangout or chat room or anything like that. But we'll see what we can do. We're going to be at the Airbnb podcast house. What is this, 3.0?
That's right.
Okay. we need a hashtag podcast house 3. We'll be in action on Tuesday night. We'll be there and talk about that. And it should be a lot of fun there. And then, of course, make sure you subscribe to the Rehap Ops or the Big Brother podcast feed to make sure you get all of our coverage. And, of course, thanks to everybody who is using our links for Amazon.com. Certainly helps support all the podcasting, robinsonwebsite.com/Amazon. Of course, Alex Kidwell, at Alex Kidwell, tweeting about the live feeds.
Yeah, always.
Sometimes, yeah, sure.
Why often.
Not? Okay.
Frequently.
And, yeah. And, of course, looking forward to hearing what you guys think about this and the format. Big thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing this Friday show. And take care, everybody. Have a good one.